on, FA Nation? Welcome back. This is the Fantasy Alarm NASCAR DFS podcast. I am Dan Malin, and I am joined, as always, by our FSWA three-time NASCAR Writer of the Year, Matt Sells. We are talking Phoenix this week, but first, we had a pretty successful week last weekend at Vegas, which is always nice because the first two races of the year, Daytona, Atlanta, a little hard to predict. They are higher variance tracks, but you know, when we finally have track data and practice times and just the things that matter when we make our lineup picks, even the betting card that you published last week, from top to bottom, it was a pretty successful week.
Yeah, it was a huge week. It's coming off the heels of the 35-1 hit for Suarez in Atlanta. And then we hit the complete favorite in Kyle Larson, although I will say I had Ross Chastain written up at plus 1300, who finished P2. Hit top 10s, hit matchups. So good week, good DFS week. We'll turn our attention here to Phoenix. You know, the Vegas race wasn't as exciting as Atlanta. Never was going to have that billing. Like, Atlanta had all of the things going for it that Vegas does not. So
I still enjoyed Vegas, though. Like, there was a good finish with, you know, could Tyler Reddick run down Kyle Larson at the end?
And we had teammates working together because Bubba was like 13 laps down and bump drafting Tyler Reddick to get closer to Larson. Ross Chastain had a rocket ship at times. Ty Gibbs put together perhaps one of his most complete races.
Noah Gragson, too.
Ford still have questions except for Noah Gragson. Like, all of them decided, except for, I guess, Ryan Blaney was also up there. But, like, Blaney and Gragson were really the only two Fords that carried the day for them. So we still have that question. Now we get a completely different setup for Phoenix. That's right. Fourth race of the year. Arguably fourth different setup. It's certainly the third different setup. But, yeah, we get kind of a modified short track package on the cars this week.
Yeah, how is it different? Because this is the first time that they're running this as their new short track package, am I right?
Yes, it's the first time, which also means, by the way, we'll have 50 minutes of practice on Friday. Cup Series practice is Friday at 5:05 p.m. Eastern. Qualifying is then on Saturday for the Cup Series. And then, you know, Saturday afternoon, and then the race is Sunday afternoon for Cup Series. It's different. There's a modified, I think, it's either Jeff Gluck or Bob Pockrass who have tweets out there that have the exact details. But basically, the underbody is different this week with in terms of the front splitter and some of the stuff on the floor of the car. And then it's a shorter spoiler this week, too. They're trying to reduce the downforce, so it's not quite like – so it's easier to pass, basically. Mm-hmm. They're trying to make it easier to pass so the cars aren't super glued to the track and it's impossible to get around them on short tracks, which hopefully this works. We'll see. Phoenix is an interesting track to try it at because it's not a purely flat track, nor is it a purely short track. So we'll see. I mean, from the tests, the drivers sounded encouraged but said that there was – still some more to do. They did some preseason testing. So we'll get Mr. Malin back there. So we'll see. We'll see how it works.
Was that me?
That was
me. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, you're good. You're good. We're back. We're still going. I added you back.
All good. Cool. Thank you.
So the craziest thing for me this week is going to be the restarts at Phoenix. Like, That's the draw for Phoenix. Once they get kind of filed out, it's kind of like racing an intermediate, right? They kind of get strung out a little bit. The guy up front becomes reasonably hard to pass. But the restarts at Phoenix are nuts. So if you haven't seen him, we're going to go like 6-7 wide here. The dog leg.
Probably even more.
Maybe. Kind of depends on how many people cram down onto the apron and just how low they go. So there's a part of the track called the dog leg. It kind of gently, I don't know, veers to the left, I guess, right after the start-finish line. And it's very wide, and there is no out-of-bounds. So you can go all the way from the wall, from wall to wall, and it's like 8-9 cars wide. And that's your best shot to pick up positions, because if you can cut the corner, you cut track, you're going a shorter distance in a faster amount of time, you can pick people off. So yeah, it's going to be restarts here are going to be nuts.
Now, in terms of like lineup construction and strategy, I guess overall, 312 laps. This is a 500 kilometer race, hence why it's you know, the Shriners Children's 500. It's not 500 miles. you know, we talked about how last week you could potentially target one or two dominators in your builds. The way that qualifying kind of shook out is that you could actually just play Larson, and then you could also comfortably fit a guy like Tyler Reddick, a guy like Ross Chastain. You could fit those three in your lineups because Reddick and Chastain offered position differential but also racked up fastest laps throughout the race, while Kyle Larson collected most of the laps led. So if you had Larson, Reddick, Chastain builds last week, you probably did pretty well. But for this week, are you probably more comfortable going with the two dominator build, just because we have 300 laps on, over 300 laps on tap? We're going to have probably over 200 dominator points. You kind of want to just get as many as you can into your lineup.
Yeah, I would say two dominator builds are probably the way to go. It does now, granted. Okay. So we are recording this on Wednesday evening. It's like 10 to 9 Eastern time, Wednesday evening. So clearly no cars have been on track. And we're still 2 days away from practice. However, prices have dropped and there are three guys on DraftKings above 11,000. So we're going to have to be careful with, depending on
what do they have in common, Matt?
So the three guys above 11,000 are Kyle Larson, Ryan Blaney, and William Byron, who, aside from being generally speaking the three fastest guys on track, those are the only three guys to land in the top 10 and top 5 at both Phoenix races a year ago. Not that that guarantees their placement this year. Just saying. They're coming in with speed, and they're coming to a track that they've already done quite well at previously. So depending on how practice and qualifying shake out, if you want two of those guys as dominators, it's going to be next to impossible to fit both, to fit anybody else of quality in those builds.
What should we be looking for specifically in practice? Because I know that there are going to be guys that might go out and not look great in practice, and they may have just tried to set their car up for qualifying trim. We've seen it a lot with Toyota this year specifically. But what are you looking for? Are you just looking for handling? Do you want to see speed in the long run?
Yeah, because there tends to not be very many natural cautions at Phoenix. We'll have the stage breaks, but there's been like 4 or 6 cautions a race in each of the last 4 races here. I think the first race here in the next gen car had 8 because we had some tire issues.
Right.
I would not expect that again. Those are outliers. So there was a race with 4 cautions and 2 of them were stage breaks. So that means 2 incidents happened over 312 laps of racing. You know, you're going to want long run cars here. It tends to be the way that it shakes out, that long run cars tend to be the better ones to play for DFS.
Now, is this one of those tracks and one of those places, because we do talk about this with tracks like Bristol, Martinsville, Richmond, and New Hampshire to an extent, but in terms of, you know, starting drivers too deep in the field, you know, is this kind of like a road course where, you know, you take the PD where you can get it from a good reliable driver? You know, you don't want to start too many cheap guys starting in the back, because there is the possibility that maybe they just don't have the speed to get lapped quickly, especially if you're talking about there's the lack of natural cautions. And so, you know, maybe one guy that you view as a value, but then you really just try to hit on the mid-range guys that are probably starting inside the top 25 or in the top 20.
Yeah, I mean, this is not – we talk about track position being king at Vegas, right? I think it kind of gets a little bit overlooked here at Phoenix. Last year in the spring race, We saw three drivers. Can't count tonight. Apologies. Four drivers starting outside the top 12 that finished inside the top 10. But the furthest back was 24th. That's Chase Briscoe. So it can be a little tricky to find PD. If you want to find PD here, we're going to go based on track history. Right. So we're going to take the guys who have had solid runs here, and it hasn't much mattered where they started because they have the track figured out. So like a guy like Austin Dillon, he finished 16th last year. He's run pretty well here previously. I think in the fall race, he was running seventh before he was wrecked out late in the race. He started 30th in the spring race and finished 16th. So you can move up here, but it's a lot harder to find those guys here than at any other track we've been to so far this year.
All right. So as you mentioned at the top, Kyle Larson, Ryan Blaney, William Byron are in the 11K range this early in the season. It is kind of weird to see three drivers priced up in that range. Right behind them are Denny Hamlin and Christopher Bell. Is Blaney, I guess, everyone's consensus favorite option in this range? Just, you know, going off of what he's done in the next-gen car, three straight runner-up finishes at this track, a driver rating over 100 in all four races in the next-gen era, top fives in all four races. In 2022, he led a combined 252 laps. He did win the championship in this race in the fall, but didn't even win the race. We'll get to the driver that actually did win the race because he's a little bit forgotten. yeah, it was the first time in a while that a driver won the championship without winning the championship
race. First time ever in the Cup Series.
But overall, is Blaney shaping up to probably be everyone's top play above 10K on DraftKings?
Probably. I think the only one who might be ahead of him would be Larson, but I'm probably still leaning Blaney over Larson.
Would that just be recency bias on Larson?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, they're both pretty likable dudes, but I think, you know, you go out and you lead, what, 185 laps last week? You know, 70% of a race or something. And he was pretty quick at Atlanta, and he was, you know, let's not forget, Blaney finished third last week. So it's not like he was some schmuck. He had speed. Just not...
He even said that he didn't have anything for Reddick or Larson, but, you know, like, those two were clearly the best cars all day. And you could probably throw Chastain in there too. If Chastain gained track position in the third stage simply because with like 30 laps to go, he only took two tires. I was actually surprised his car hung around up there that long.
Yeah, I was, as a guy who had him as a top five pick, I was sweating it.
Yeah. You're ecstatic, though. I
mean, it hit, man. He, you know, he got the track position. I just needed him to hold it. So yeah, I would say that Blaney's probably the favorite play. Obviously, again, it depends on where things shake out, but I don't know. I'm a little down on Hamlin this week, to be honest.
You know, and that's kind of weird because when we talk about these shorter flat tracks, you know, JGR, they're a team that we do like to consider. You know, when we talk about the team success at Martinsville and even Richmond and New Hampshire to an extent. So it is a little odd that I'm not that enthused about Hamlin either. And I understand, like, he was a pretty popular play last week at Vegas because he started P28. got very close to 6X value. But that was, you know, there was really nothing that really stood out to me about his car and just said he looks phenomenal. Like, Denny Hamlin always has a top 10 car when he starts P28. Yeah, like, I expect him to score well. but I don't even think he made the optimal lineup. And yet, we come to a track like this for Phoenix, and I'm kind of with you. I'm not that excited about him, but, you know, we'll see how he looks in practice.
Yeah, I mean, again, I hate to use that cop-out. We'll have to see. But he's generally, aside from the absolutely spectacular had to have it win here like 3 years ago to make the championship when it was still at Homestead and this was the penultimate race, he's been better in the fall races here than the spring races. The spring races, it's almost like they're testing out setups on the car for when they come back. Because he's finished P8 in each of the last two fall races here. He's finished, I think, outside the top 10, if not outside the top 15 in both spring races in the next gen car. So, you know, that's not exactly the most appealing for a guy who's going off the board at 10-5 this week.
If we're just talking about how we're perceiving Joe Gibbs Racing based on their price points, Denny Hamlin is 10-5, Bell is 10 even. Truex is right behind Bell at 9,800. But then you get Ty Gibbs, who is no longer really a value. He's an even 8K, so he's right around that mid-range. You know, Ty Gibbs has had some good runs here. He did win the Xfinity Series Championship in 2022 at this very track. I don't know. Like, is Gibbs the best play, I guess, on a point per dollar basis? Like, early on, I mean, this is only Wednesday night.
You probably have to say that. Like, I'm not the biggest fan of Truex here. Like, he's been solid, but not, like, special. Yeah. Just talked about how Denny's kind of better for the fall race than the spring race. Seabell's been good here, but again, he probably has the riskiest price tag attached to him, because for Gibbs, you just need him to have a solid finish to hit value, generally speaking. Mm-hmm. Right? PD would be great. But Seabell, you're going to need him to lead laps or get dominators or start so far back in the field and move so far up that he then becomes a chalk play. So I would agree with you that Ty Gibbs is probably the best point per dollar play for JGR.
Gotcha. Right underneath Martin Truex Jr., we're getting a range of drivers like Joey Logano at 95, Kyle Busch at 92. Kyle Busch had a good car last week.
He did.
18 laps left, 14 fast.
Shocker.
Yeah, right. And so he eventually just – he finished multiple laps down, right? Or at least one.
I think so.
Finished 26th.
I didn't double check the laps down, but
But ultimately, we're still landing on a good, you know, batch of Chevys underneath Logano. Kyle Busch, Chastain, Chase Elliott, 8,800. Just given what we know about Chase Elliott, that seems like a steal, but
I love that price tag.
I do too. Because we know what the ceiling is.
Since 2020, if you take out the – I think it was Ryan at iFantasy Race that tweeted this. If you take out the wreck in the championship race, where he then went to basically like early vacation mode and just mm-hmm. didn't care, he's had an average finish of 5.8.
At Phoenix?
So if you're just talking a guy who could – like in his sleep, basically, nab you a top five here outside of the top three that we just talked about, it's Chase Elliott. Like, and at that price point, if he, let's say he qualifies, I don't know, he hasn't been that great at qualifying this year, but he's qualified here an average of 14.7 in the last, you know, the three next gen races that he's raced. If he does that and then finishes 5.8, that's almost 10 spots of PD. Mm-hmm. That's basically all you need from him at 8,800.
What if I throw this out there, though? Because in the three next-gen races at Phoenix that he's run, because he didn't run this race a year ago, he had that skiing incident or snowboarding accident. He doesn't have a top 10 in the next-gen car. A lot of his... like success. I mean, he won at Phoenix for the championship race in 2020 when he was clearly the best car in that race and all year. Had a pair of top fives in 2021. But in 2022, this race 2 years ago, he started 19th, finished 11th, did lead 50 laps. And then there's the championship race that you referenced from 2022 where he wrecked and finished 28th. And then in the championship race last fall, started P20 and finished 16th.
Yeah, but again, he wasn't in the championship. He was not in the playoffs. He still had the winless season, I guess, to try to end, but he wasn't going to outrun teammates of his that were in the title run.
Any interest in, we've already talked about Larson, Byron, Elliott, might as well just jump right on down to Alex Bowman, who is severely underpriced at 7,500. Home track. He's got that narrative going for him, at least.
It is his home track. He's also got a sweet paint scheme this week for a...
Is it one of the best friends thing? Yeah, like the animal shelter friends. Ones?
Yeah. Uh-huh, with paw prints all over it and pictures of cute cats and dogs. Yeah, nice job there, Alex Bowman. Got me to follow them on Twitter, actually. So good job for you. I don't know what to make of Alex Bowman. We talked about this last week, how we think he's the fourth car at Hendrick.
I think he just is. Like, I don't even think it's subjective at this point.
And he didn't exactly... Like, he finished 18th, but I feel like he ran better than that at Vegas at times. But... I don't know. He had that one phenomenal run at Phoenix where he filled in for, what, Dale Jr.? I believe when Jr. was out with his concussion stuff that ultimately ended his career. And he led a crap ton of laps, and then he faded late because I think he wore the tires off.
Mm-hmm.
But he hasn't exactly done a whole heap ton here. In fact, in the four next-gen races here, Bowman has started on average 18.5 and finished on average 18.5.
Consistent,
right?
It just starts where he finishes.
Now, last spring he did finish ninth here last spring after starting 18th. So if he can do that again and kind of show that he's figuring his home track out a little bit, there's some value here. But he's certainly on the riskier end of the Hendrick spectrum.
All right, so now that we've discussed Hendrick and JGR, why don't we talk about the guy priced at $9,000, probably a little underpriced just for, you know, the output that he's put out the last few weeks. I'll give DraftKings credit. They're not incredibly reactive. They're not very reactionary to what a driver did the week prior. You know, Ross got 62 points last week at 9,100. You got 54 points the week before at Atlanta. So he's still only like $9,000. But he won this race a year ago. I still think this is a great price tag. And he's had speed in that car seemingly every single week. And I expect this week to be no different.
He is the defending winner here. Not of this specific race, but the last race at Phoenix. Because remember, he kept Ryan Blaney, which is what Ryan Blaney's ironic quote tweet of Ross Chastain's was about. That Ryan Blaney was like air blocking Chastain last week at Vegas. Which is what Chastain was doing to Ryan Blaney at Phoenix in the championship race to finish last year. Chastain looked dominant in that race a year ago. Wasn't in the championship, but won it. He's going off right now, by the way, at plus 1,000 at Caesars. He is the fourth. He is basically the same price tag as Denny Hamlin. And he is behind Byron, Blaney, and Kyle Larson. So I think there's value all over the board, whether it be betting or DFS on Ross Chastain. That car is way too hard not to like right now.
Yeah.
Like, it is fast everywhere.
What about the RFK boys? Once again, priced egregiously close to each other. Not a great start for that team, though.
No. No. not a good start at all. Keselowski had an incredibly rough race at Vegas.
Still finished 13th, but I don't think he was
running
I don't know. I don't think he was running nearly that well most of the day.
Yeah, I don't know how he got there, to be perfectly honest. Buescher had
wrecked early, didn't he?
Yeah, did he wreck earlier? There was an engine. What caused him to?
No, he had the tire come completely off.
Oh, right. Yes. And then it did enough damage that he had to.
So he's not going to have his crew chief for two races. He's probably not going to have his tire changer for two races as well.
Yeah, I think they suspended the Jackman and the car chief.
Yeah. Tough break.
Something like that for two races. I mean, yeah, not the best spot you want to be honest.
Yeah.
But, you know, so they're going to have to really show me some stuff. This is also not exactly the best, you know, track for them in general.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's concern there too.
I'm not really entirely sure the pricing of what they're doing with this next guy. You know, Tyler Reddick, 7,500. Bubba Wallace had a pair of top fives at Atlanta and Daytona. Not a great run last week. As you mentioned, he did lose a ton of laps at Vegas, especially on a track where we've seen that car on similar tracks like Kansas and Vegas, for that matter, run really, really well. But Bubba Wallace gets a $1,000 discount from a week ago, and he's now 7,700. Priced beneath Chase Briscoe, who does have a win here, but at the same time, Chase Briscoe has done seemingly nothing else in the Cup Series since his win at Phoenix 2 years ago.
Yeah, now I will grant you, so last year was good for Bubba here. Bubba finished 14th in the spring race and 10th in the fall race here. He started 19th in the spring race and finished 14th, and then started 5th and fell back to 10th in the fall race. So there's a risk there. I do think the 2311s tend to be fast. Clearly, their sweet spot is intermediate tracks.
Yeah.
Bubba's getting better at short tracks. But for my money, I'd rather just go with Chase Briscoe. I mean, I know he hasn't done much, but he wrecked out last year in the fall race, the championship race, which nobody really cared about. But other than that, he's finished 1st, 4th, and 7th in 3 of the 4 next-gen races here. He ran pretty strongly at short tracks last year. The shortcomings that the Fords have seemingly had are not going to be that big this week because it's not a huge you know, horsepower or engine power track, not a terribly large aero track. So I do think it's a track that feeds into, if you're comfortable here, you can do well here, and Briscoe certainly fits that mold.
Do you think that could also apply to his teammate, Ryan Preece, 6,900? He's the nice play of the week. And I feel like any other time I've brought up Ryan Preece on previous podcasts, you've always said, nah, it's not a flat track. But, like, this is. And so this probably does cater to Preece's strengths.
He is the Eric Almirola replacement.
Okay.
Short, flat tracks are Ryan Preece's strength. He's run twice here, obviously. Did not run last year in the Cup Series. Ran the first year in the next-gen car. Finished 12th and 14th. And he started 25th and 12th. So he started 25th in the spring race 2 years ago and finished 12th. And then started 12th and finished 14th. So even when he started closer to the front, he didn't really kill you in terms of going backwards. He lost two spots, right? Yeah. But he did move up pretty well. So I don't really have a problem with Ryan Preece this week.
Are there any other value drivers in the value range that kind of catch your eye? I know you briefly touched on Austin Dillon, I think.
Yeah, he's had solid runs here. I'm willing to give him a shot this week. His finish in the championship race last year does not do his run justice. He was running inside the top 10 before he got taken out. Isn't this a home track for, and it's also like a McDowell home track?
I thought he's from Texas, but I think you might be right.
Buescher is from Prosper, Texas. I thought there was one other guy who's from Arizona.
I think you might be right. Dear Lord, I'm on Bing and their search engines are terrible.
That's why you don't.
Yeah, he's from Phoenix.
There you go. I don't know why I remember these things, to be perfectly honest. It's starting to get a little scary, to be perfectly honest. I don't know. McDowell's been okay here.
Well, here's what I like about McDowell is that we've talked about Blaney and how good and consistent he's been at Phoenix. We know that Logano has one here as well. Cindric is kind of interesting to me because his teammates are good here, and Cindric was great here in the Xfinity Series. But then there also is this front row alliance with Penske now, and we've seen speed in that car at times. It didn't translate at Vegas, but honestly, we didn't really love many of the Fords at Vegas aside from Blaney and Gregson. But, you know, with a new short track aero package, I think this is just another week to potentially see, like, what is happening with this alliance between front row and Penske. Because there are a couple small teams that are making some waves. If we are not necessarily looking at results, but if we're looking at how the cars look, because I also want to get to Spire Motorsports shortly.
Yeah, Spire's put on a show in the lower divisions. Let's be clear about that for sure. I will say that in the next gen car, McDowell has finished better in every race than he did the previous one. So he finished 27th, then 25th, then 13th, then 9th. Does that mean the trend continues? I don't see him as a top 9 car.
Yeah.
But the fact that he's got back-to-back top 15 finishes here is intriguing. It is also his home track. There's that. Your Austin Cindric point is reasonable.
But again, like, he just hasn't done anything since he won the Daytona 500 2 years ago. Yeah.
That's the problem there. We get Derek Krause back. Any interest in him considering he kept the car clean? Atlanta, and this is decidedly not as chaotic.
I'm gonna get hate for this but I'd rather just go to pay $500 more for Daniel Heimerk.
That's probably true.
Because
that's the correct answer.
A fun look behind the curtain. Matt and I tried to do this podcast last night on Tuesday, before prices were even out. And we actually did spend a good amount of time talking about Daniel Heimerk. His lone career win here was in the Xfinity Series Championship a few years ago when he made the pass on Austin Cindric. And he won that race and became an Xfinity Series champion. No one can really take that away from him. One of the more fluky wins in NASCAR history, sure. But, you know, we also know that Daniel Heimerk probably goes out early in qualifying. He won't qualify very well. If I had to guess, I'd say he probably once again qualifies outside the top 25. But that's a top 20 car either way, and we've seen him get three straight top 20s to start the year, plus 44 position differential through the three races in short. Two of them were higher variance tracks. But even last week, started 34th at Vegas, finished 19th. If he's starting deep in the field once again, I will be perfectly fine going to Daniel Heimerk and hoping that he can somehow get me 30 to 35 points just with another top 20.
I'm glad to see you're back on the Heimerk train. It's a little weird when you were no longer on.
Well, because I had to eventually just give in to the fact that the guy sucked, but then he won the Xfinity Series Championship, and I'm like, all right, maybe there's something there.
Yeah. I'm with you. Heimerk is the guy that you can kind of just plug in at the bottom and feel decent about, like Todd Gilliland was last year until it wasn't. And then, you know, we stopped playing him. So, by the way, interesting twist here. The one next gen race that Daniel Heimerk has won in the Cup Series, he qualified at top 10. So, There is that.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, run your mock fantasy baseball draft.
I am.
Now I feel like we've talked about all the drivers from top to bottom that I was intrigued with. Again, it's only Wednesday night, and so there's plenty that we'll need to dissect by the time the weekend comes. The one thing I do want to ask you though is, we know that at this point in the season, you know, play a little bit more. We advise, like, for the start of the year to play light just because of the nature of Daytona and Atlanta. Does the fact that we don't know a lot about what's going to happen with this aero package, this new short track aero package, does that maybe have you laying off cash games a little bit? I mean, even last week, I was more on board with cash games, even though I still only played tournaments, but it was still profitable. Is this one of those weeks that you're okay with cash games and probably going for a two dominator point with approach with those lineups? Or do we still kind of stray away just because we don't, there's this fear of the unknown with the new short track package, which has in the previous short track package had plenty of criticism and well deserved.
Yeah. I don't know that we're so unknown that it's steering me away from cash games. This week. I mean, I have no problem if you want to play more tournaments and cash games. Perfectly fine. I probably will be doing the same thing. But I'm not going to steer clear of them because I think Phoenix as a track has basically raced the same regardless of next-gen car or, you know, Gen 6. Or when they had the start-finish line down what is now the backstretch.
Yeah.
So, I mean, regardless of how the layout's been and how the cars have been, the racing has been pretty close to similar at Phoenix.
So, all right, Matt, any final thoughts as I let you get back to your fantasy baseball draft?
I am, for those who might be watching the video, I keep looking to the side. I have three monitors going. I have the recording on one, data for NASCAR on another, and then a Fantasy Alarm mock draft happening on another. So we are multitasking here. And to be honest, I like this draft way better than I like the last one. Has nothing to do with the fact it started with Ronald Acuna.
You can thank Howard for that bet. Draft position.
What?
You can thank Howard for the draft position.
Yeah. I mean, I asked for it so it'd be more convenient for the pod so I could make two picks in a row and then, you know, not really have to think about stuff. In terms of some quick bets here, betting piece will be out probably Thursday or Friday. It's really hard not to like Blaney or Larson at the top. I think there's value in Ross Chastain.
Is there still value down the board on DraftKings? Because we were talking about how there was that discrepancy where Bowman was like 35-1, but then it dropped right down to Josh Berry at 80-1.
So I see, okay. So looking at, Action Network, I now see Josh Berry is at 70-1 on DK. I see Bowman's 45-1. Bubba's 35-1. So quite frankly,
Gregson's gone up to 65-1. That's,
he has, yeah. McDowell's at 80-1. I mean, I'm not really putting a whole lot. I mean, this is again, not really a long shot. Track, unless right. Everything breaks properly for you. Briscoe at 25-1. I mean, the dude's got to win. He's got three top tens here, three top sevens, to be honest. Ty Gibbs has an Xfinity title. He's at 18-1 on DK.
That's probably as long as you might. Like, I hate that we're losing value on Ty Gibbs so soon.
Yeah, but
before he's even gotten his win. Like, he's going to get a win this year. It just sucks that we're already losing value.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I wish it would stick around a little bit. If you want top five, if you want to put money on top five bets, William Byron is the shortest on DK at -105. In terms of, like, the three guys that we've been talking about, right? So gotcha. Larson is -135. Blaney's -120 and Byron's -105. So if you want closest to even money, it's Byron. If you want surest bet, it's probably Blaney.
I also think, you know, your own logic from your argument for Chase Elliott, like, you could probably make a decent argument for Elliott at a top five at +225.
You could. There is some intriguing logic there. We used similar logic last week to hit Ross Chastain at +220 at a top five. Yeah. And similar logic to hit Daniel Suarez at a top 10, +175 the week before that. Obviously, he won that race, so that was a win. Yeah, I'd sprinkle some on Chase at +225. I mean, you're going back 4 years of races. That's eight races, and we're only excluding the one where he got wrecked out in the championship and then just pouted his way home. An average finish of 5.8. I mean, to give you an idea, if you wanted to say, okay, well, I don't feel comfy betting a top five, I'd rather just take the top 10 if he's averaging 5.8. DK has him in a top 10 at minus 190. So you're losing a lot of value.
Yeah.
I mean, there's five extra spots on the track, but yes, you're losing some value. So there's some of the bets. I'll have more written up in the article on FA. I'd probably take – here's a matchup we talked a little bit about last night. Denny Hamlin versus Chase Elliott. Denny on DK is going off at minus 150 and Chase is plus 115. I know they've been similar this year, but
I don't hate that value on Chase.
And by the way, if you look at BetMGM, it's even better value on Chase because it's plus 125 on Chase compared to minus 160 on Denny. So that's an interesting one. The Ross Chastain, Ryan Blaney one, both negative numbers. Gragson versus Josh Berry. Gragson's minus 105. Josh Berry is minus 125.
I'd probably take Gragson.
That one's intriguing only because Josh Berry has short track background.
Yeah.
Right? The same reason we like Ryan Preece. Josh Berry, like, you know, cut his teeth and spent his entire time doing that. Truex Logano is even across the board. Like, it's minus 115 for both, so there's basically no edge. So I'm not sure why you would bet that. Bowman or Ty Gibbs?
I might take Gibbs.
Gibbs is minus 150. Bowman is plus 115.
I don't love the value, but it's,
it changes it a little bit. But
yeah, I would probably just – I would avoid it probably.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. But
all right.
That'll wrap it up for me. I'm just rambling about bets now.
All right. Well, Matt, thank you so much for your time. Safe travels to you this week. I know you'll still be in the Discord as always.
I will actually be tantalizingly close to Bristol and not going to Bristol.
That's insane.
I'll be in Blacksburg, Virginia, like 3 days before the race, which is only a couple hours from Bristol. Not going. So we'll make it there at some point.
Safe travels to you and the family this week. And best of luck this week at Phoenix to the FA Nation. And best of luck to you as well, Matt.
Best of luck, FA Nation.